السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون
These are two verses from Surah Al-Hashr, and their translation is, O ye who believe, fear Allah, and let every soul look to what it sends forth for the morrow. And fear Allah, verily, Allah is well aware of what you do. And be not like those who forgot Allah, and whom He has consequently caused to forget their own souls. It is they that are the rebellious. We observe that, generally speaking, the root cause of all vices is when a person considers any vice or bad deed to be trivial or small, and does not make a concerted effort to resist committing them, and nor gives due attention towards them. It is precisely this indifference towards smaller evils that leads a person to committing major vices, as they slowly but gradually neglect virtues, and they neglect reaching the standard of performing good deeds required of a believer. Their fear of God diminishes, and they depart from taqwa, righteousness. And no longer do they hold complete faith in the life after death. In essence, whilst they claim to have faith, in practice they continue to discard the prerequisites of faith. In the eyes of God, they no longer remain mu'min, believers. In the aforementioned verses, Allah the Almighty draws the attention of believers towards this reality. emphatically, God the Almighty admonishes the believers that you have in this world today your enjoyments, activities of interest, comforts, luxuries, and worries for the relationships with your family, friends, and relatives. However, these things should not be your main focus and concern. Rather, your primary concern should be preparing for what you will send forth tomorrow. Your most important priority and worry should be attaining the required standard of faith in God the Almighty and of taqwa, righteousness and fear of God. Your chief concern should focus on your life after death and the account of yourself that you will have to present. Only when you act upon all of this will you truly improve your morals. And this moral improvement will not be merely superficial, but rather will be with view of the purpose of pleasing Allah the Almighty. Your moral progress and claim to be a true believer will only then become a reality when you keep in sight your life in the next world at all times. In the sight of God the Almighty, you will only then have certain, selfless, and true faith in Him when you keep the hereafter constantly in view, and when you strive to please God the Almighty and act upon His commands. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, commenting on the first verse that I recited, says, "The verse means, O you who believe, always fear God, and be mindful and attentive of what you are preparing to present in the hereafter. Fear that God, who is the greatest and the all-knowing, who looks over your every action." In other words, God the Almighty is all aware of what you do and will certainly reject your insincere and debased actions. And so every single one of us needs to strive to the utmost to understand this command of Allah the Almighty and fully endeavor to act upon it. We should adopt taqwa, fear of God, and always keep an eye on our actions. We need to be mindful of those deeds which will help prepare us for the life to come. Allah the Almighty sees to the furthest depths of our hearts and is fully aware of everything we do. And so he cannot be deceived by actions which are only done outwardly. Rather, as the promised Messiah on whom be peace has said, God the Almighty distinguishes between people who perform actions dishonestly with those who are upright and sincere in their deeds. He will completely reject maligned and impure actions. Therefore, it is a matter of hugely serious concern for a believer to be constantly worried about the hereafter, where he or she will be held to account for their actions. We should not, like non-believers, consider this world to be everything. Instead, to attain real success and prosperity, we should adopt the path of taqwa. Hadrat Khalifatul Masih I, may Allah be pleased with him, says, "A formula for success told to us by Allah the Almighty is that man should worry about the hereafter today. Man will thereby adorn his life in this world and the next. Then by acting upon the teaching of the Holy Quran, وَالْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ, a person attains success and prosperity in not only this life, but also attains the blessings of God the Almighty and prosperity in the life to come. We can never prepare the provisions for the life in the hereafter unless we get ready for it in this life from now. I would also like to mention in this reference that the verses under discussion are also recited at the time of the Nikah, the Islamic announcement of marriage. These are the final verses recited at the Nikah announcement. In the verses recited at the Nikah announcement, Allah the Almighty has drawn attention to various matters and said that after joining together in marriage, they, the couple, should take care of their blood relations and also be mindful of their responsibilities. If honesty is always adopted, they will be able to constantly fulfill their duties, perform good deeds, and maintain their relations. They should implement the commands of Allah the Almighty and His Messenger, and this alone will give them a life of success and prosperity. Then, further emphasis is given that if one always keeps in mind the life to come, they will in turn always keep in view the commands of Allah and His Messenger. There are a multitude of injunctions of Allah the Almighty and His Messenger that help to make one's domestic life beautiful. If one ponders on these, it is clear that this will benefit the person, him or herself. As Hadrat Khalifatul Masih I said, this will adorn one's life in this world and in the hereafter. One's family life in this world will become like paradise. And by following the commands of Allah the Almighty, he or she will also receive the rewards of the next life. This benefit will not be limited to one's own person. Rather, his or her children will also in this way tread on the path of piety. As such, a true believer who acts in this manner will not only beautify their own life after death, but they will also strive to become the guarantor of the beautiful life in the hereafter for the future generations. And in fact, not only do they strive, but also they in reality become the guarantee for this, because when one acts in this way, it normally results in their children also leading a virtuous life. And so if the families who are ruining their homes on the smallest and pettiest of issues would instead ponder and reflect on the commands of Allah the Almighty, they will not only guarantee peace in their own households, but they would also be providing the proper training and tarbiyat to their children and will be guiding them to treading on the path of taqwa. Thus, they will help beautify the lives of their progeny and will be helping them attain the blessings of this world and the hereafter. And so those who due to worldliness are destroying their homes on the most trivial of matters should reflect and ponder. The future generations are not just your children, but they are also an asset of the Jamaat and the nation. It is the responsibility of parents to show the future generations the right way. And this can only happen when parents strive to follow the commandments of Allah the Almighty and His Messenger. May Allah the Almighty enable everyone to do this. This was one aspect towards which Allah the Almighty has directed the attention of every believer in order for them to strive in this regard, and through which they will be able to prepare and beautify this life and the next for themselves and their children. There are countless occasions in our lives when we do not act with taqwa, righteousness, and we forget about the hereafter. We consider the resources and necessities of this world as everything. Unconsciously, we give precedence to worldly support over support by Allah the Almighty. Then, due to our inabilities, weaknesses, and laziness, we destroy our future in this life and also disregard the future of the hereafter. We do not think of the dreadful consequences our actions can cause. Once Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, may Allah be pleased with him, directed the attention of the Jamaat in the following brief words, that a mu'min, a believer, should consider beforehand the consequences of whatever action he or she performs. When a person is enraged, he feels like he can kill someone, and he resorts to cursing out loud. However, he or she should reflect on what the consequences of his or her actions will be. If a person keeps in view this principle, then they will be granted the ability to tread on the path of taqwa, righteousness. If we observe, we notice that all bad deeds and sins are committed because the devil or Satan forces himself in our minds. Vices are performed because a person shows neglect to the consequences of his or her actions. It is very uncommon that those who kill and destroy, or those who sin, would ever confess to their crime and surrender themselves to face the consequences of their actions. The condition of madness, as portrayed by them, is almost a permanent condition. When any normal and sensible person comes out of this state, they try to protect themselves. It is a different affair with habitual criminals who are beyond this. Here, Allah the Almighty is not speaking of those who are habitual transgressors or are completely insane. On the contrary, Allah the Almighty says to those who claim to have believed that it is a sign of a mu'min, a believer, to always keep one eye on the future. While elaborating on the fact that how can one remain alert and conscious of the consequences for the future, Hadrat Khalifatul Masih I, may Allah be pleased with him, says that a person should believe in Wallahu Khabirum Bima Ta'malun, that whatever you do, Allah the Almighty is well aware of it. If a person believes that there is an all-aware and omniscient king or emperor who witnesses every evil act, who witnesses every treachery, deceit, laziness, and mischievous behavior, and he will recompense for every action accordingly, then this person can be saved. Hadrat Khalifatul Masih the First states that you should develop faith in this manner. There are many people who are neglectful and slack towards their obligations in their employment, work or labor. By acting in this manner, their income is no longer halal or lawful. That is, those who are apathetic towards their worldly affairs and do not fulfill its due rights means that they have also destroyed their future, and the income they received is also no longer halal or lawful. This income was obtained through deception. Therefore, this verse directs our attention to remain focused and attentive of our future contains great breadth in its meaning. And it refrains a sincere mu'min or believer by holding him or her back from approaching even a small weakness or sin. Therefore, it is imperative to develop within us the certain belief that Allah the Almighty is looking over our every action. And we should also have the belief that He dislikes any type of deception that we commit, regardless of how minute we consider it to be, for the sake of gaining profit. Or that we are apathetic in our behavior towards our work, or if we on purpose do not complete a job as promised, with the intention that maybe in this manner we will be able to pressurize someone and gain more profit and benefit. So keep in mind that Allah the Almighty dislikes such things. If Allah the Almighty dislikes such things, then the recompense for such actions, as Hadrat Khalifatul Masih the First has said, is in the form of punishment. Therefore, by instructing a believer to be mindful of the tomorrow, a believer's attention has been directed to tread on a path of righteousness when dealing with familial matters, to societal, business, national, international, and in fact all affairs. The one who does not tread on the path of taqwa should keep in mind that they will come under the wrath of God the Almighty. Man should not think that religion has no link with worldly affairs. A mu'min, a believer, is commanded to tread on the path of righteousness, and it is necessary in the path of righteousness to perform all religious and worldly duties, according to the commandments of Allah the Almighty. Sometimes a person thinks about safeguarding themselves from a trial of incurring worldly loss. They think that they should gain material profit regardless of what method is adopted. However, it should be kept in mind that any deceitful method adopted to gain benefit can take one away from religion and faith. And something which appears to be a mere worldly matter, in fact, becomes a spiritual trial. And, as I have stated before, it slowly but gradually takes one away from religion and God. For this reason, a believer should always keep in mind that spiritual trial is far greater than worldly trials, due to which this life and the afterlife are both ruined for a person. Therefore, we should examine our hearts continuously, and we should be mindful of the consequences of our every action, in order to be cognizant of the fact that God the Almighty is watchful over our every action. When this thought is developed, then a mu'min, a believer, becomes a sincere and true mu'min, or he or she starts to move towards becoming one. In order to attain this standard, there is no need to only look at Jamaat or any auxiliary report, or to rely on such methods. Everyone can examine their own self to see if they are up to the standard. That standard in which they feel before performing any action that God the Almighty is watching over them. That if I am performing this action with a sincere intention to receive the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, then Allah the Almighty has also promised for a manifold reward in return. And if the intention is evil, then a person should think that I can come under the chastisement of Allah the Almighty. When every one of us fulfills their obligations and responsibilities with this thought and will strive in this way, then the general standard of taqwa of the Jamaat will be raised, and this standard will continue to rise and will be witnessed as it rises itself. There will be no difficulties and issues regarding the office of Tarbiyat, neither will there be any problems for the office of Amur-i-Amah or the Qaza. There will also be no need to send reminders to other offices, and neither will there be any worry regarding this matter. Therefore, we should examine our hearts at every single moment, from the morning until the night. There is an absolutely critical need to protect ourselves from satanic attacks. If these good thoughts do not come to mind, then it is due to Satan. It is Satan's role in making a person forget and show neglect. If God the Almighty is forgotten, then it is Satan who causes this. If a person is not worried about tomorrow, the hereafter, then it is Satan who makes a person forget it. It is Satan who says that forget that God the Almighty is watching over you. If we analyze this, we observe that most people do not think that God the Almighty is watching over their every action, and what could happen as a result. And all of this happens, as the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, because Satan flows in the blood of a human. There are many diseases which harm a person for this reason, as he or she is inflicted with an infection and it circulates in the blood. Gradually the infection spreads, and after a certain point it begins to have a detrimental effect on the body. A person does not realize in the beginning that the disease has attacked. On the contrary, it is rare that someone shows so much caution at the earliest stages of the disease. After being negligent about it for some time, when a person finally decides to visit a doctor, then even some doctors fail to initially diagnose that the disease is circulating in the blood. And these viruses appear, as I mentioned earlier, from the environment, when sometimes there are germs and viruses which are transmitted. And even today we see that many infections are spread which were not detected from the start, but gradually when these spread then they are identified. However, the most dangerous ailment in this day and age are spiritual diseases. The environment is replete with spiritual diseases, and man does not even know when Satan has entered his blood and started to spread the spiritual infection. Nevertheless, the disease that is procured due to Satan circulating in someone's blood is far more dangerous than a physical disease. With a physical virus, adverse effects begin to take root, and the body starts to ache, and a feeling of sluggishness takes over. Then, slowly, the disease or infection starts to spread. A person can feel the disease or virus themselves, and thus visits the doctor and asks for medicine for his or her illness. On the contrary, spiritual diseases are more dangerous, because when someone retreats from Allah the Almighty and comes under the attack of Satan, he or she does not feel that they are sick spiritually. Instead, he or she considers themselves well. When the person's friends and well-wishers find out about their sickness, they give them advice and counsel them. Those who reach the pinnacle of their spiritual illness think that their dear ones and friends are wrong for saying that they are in the wrong, and they consider themselves right. Therefore, satanic attacks and spiritual ailments are far more dangerous than the physical ailments, because man in certain instances is not prepared for the spiritual treatment and cure. Even if others draw his attention towards the cure, he or she does not pay any attention to it. Thus, a mu'min, a believer, should assess the situation and adopt precautionary measures before any kind of ailment attacks him or her. As I have said, spiritual ailments and diseases are rampant in this society. Therefore, there is a constant need of practice in order to safeguard ourselves. There is a need to constantly seek a cure and adopt precautionary measures, as this is important for a true mu'min, a believer, and he or she should continuously endeavor for this. One should always remember that a mu'min, a true believer, is never devoid of the fear of God the Almighty, and it certainly shouldn't be the case. It is narrated that whenever the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, awoke at night, he would supplicate with great humility and meekness. Once Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, witnessing this condition of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stated that God Almighty has granted you forgiveness. Then why do you worry so much and pray for yourself with so much humility and fear of God the Almighty? However, as I have mentioned before, that the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that Satan runs in the bloodstream of every human. But the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said that his Satan had become a Muslim. In other words, there was no question of any kind of spiritual ailment or illness. But in spite of this, he said that even his salvation was dependent upon the God the Almighty's grace. And therefore, he also needed to constantly prostrate before God the Almighty. Thus, if the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed so much humility despite all of this, then who can say that they do not always need to remember the hereafter in all their works, and that they do not need to seek God the Almighty's blessings after doing any work? And so, we need to be constantly alert. We need to constantly reflect upon ourselves and our actions whilst treading on the path of taqwa, righteousness. We need to constantly seek God the Almighty's mercy, and we need to constantly be mindful of how to safeguard our faith and religion. And also in the second verse which I recited, God the Almighty has drawn our attention to not become like those who forgot God the Almighty, and so He caused them to forget their own souls. I gave the example of those who are spiritually ill who never consider themselves as ill. In fact, when their sympathizers identify their illness and try to cure them, the ill person thinks it is the sympathizers who are ill and insane. In other words, their spiritual ailment leads them to neglect and thus prevents them to recognize the condition of their souls. And the result is nothing but ruin and devastation. One should remember that generally, a person forgets God the Almighty in three ways. Or, there are three kinds of people who we generally observe in the world who are far removed from God the Almighty. Firstly, it is those who deny the existence of God the Almighty and boldly express their complete rejection with great confidence. There is a very large number of people these days who hold this view and regard themselves as very intellectual and take pride in their education. Through the media, the internet and other means, they continue to poison the minds of the youth and are susceptible with their views. Secondly are those who do not have a true belief in the all-powerful God, before whom they shall be presented one day and will be answerable for their actions. However, they do still believe that there is a God who has created the world and believe the entire cosmos operates under God the Almighty's power. Yet, despite having this knowledge, they fail to act upon God the Almighty's commands. Thirdly are those who are so immersed in their worldly pursuits that they have forgotten God the Almighty. And if they ever remember Him, they may offer the Salat, the prayer, or they may supplicate, but they are not regular in doing so. They pay no attention to the five obligatory prayers that God the Almighty has prescribed for a mu'min, for a believer. Nonetheless, those who forget God the Almighty ultimately reach a stage of moral and spiritual decadence and no longer have inner peace. They think that their worldly pursuits will benefit them. Therefore, they should carry them out first, and then the obligation of God the Almighty can be fulfilled later, as they find comfort and ease more readily in their worldly gains. However, Allah the Almighty has said how He deals with such people. فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ He causes such people to forget their own souls, and they can never attain any inner peace. God the Almighty has said to the believers that if you have true taqwa, righteousness, and if you are a mu'min, a believer, and have faith in belief in His unity, then lead your life according to His conditions which He has commanded you to adhere. This includes looking at the consequence of everything one embarks upon and having firm belief that God the Almighty is watching over everything one does. When a person adopts such a view, then the manner in which he conducts his works completely changes, and he feels that because of this, the blessings of God the Almighty have also increased for him. I remember that when I went on a tour to Kenya, I met an experienced politician at a reception. He told me that he had met Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV, and he had given him an advice, which has proved very beneficial. The advice was that before doing anything, remember that God the Almighty is watching me, and he keeps a record of everything. I cannot remember now whether the politician was a Muslim or a Christian, but I think that he was a Christian. So now, if he could benefit from this advice, then how much more beneficial will the advice be for a true mu'min, a believer, who has particularly been enjoined by God the Almighty to look at the consequences of his or her actions, and remember that the all-knowing and the all-powerful God the Almighty is watching over their every deed and action. Therefore, all his actions should be carried out to win the pleasure of God the Almighty. However, if you do not have this thinking, then you will forget God the Almighty, and in turn he will count you amongst the transgressors. Therefore, by stating the word fasik, or transgressors here, God the Almighty has made it clear that if you do not act righteously, are not concerned about your next life, and do not follow God the Almighty's commandments, then you will be counted amongst the fasik, the transgressors. The fasik, the transgressor, is one that breaks the limits set by God the Almighty, who is embroiled in sins, who is disobedient, and who is dishonest. If we do not self-reflect and do not assess our actions according to the standard set by God the Almighty, then it is a cause for great concern. Explaining this part of the verse, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I states, "Do not become like those regarding whom it is said, Nasullaha fa'ansahum anfusahum, ulaika humul fasiqun." That is, those who have abandoned the fountainhead of all purity and wish to succeed through their mischievous plans, cunningness, deceptive ploys, and scheming. The meaning of Rubabazion means like foxes, as we say in the Urdu phrase, mischievous or clever like a fox. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I further states that man faces many difficulties and has many requirements. He requires food and drink and has friends as well as enemies. However, a muttaqi, a righteous person, has a quality that in all circumstances he or she takes great care not to let their relationship with God the Almighty to deteriorate. In other words, they constantly remember God the Almighty and give precedence to him over all friends and over all kinds of benefits. He then stated the example that a friend who one relies upon heavily may not remain in the world or may die at the onset of any difficulty or could fall into such trouble that he can no longer aid the person. Then, if someone has a great reliance on a particular ruler, it is possible that that ruler may be replaced and therefore cannot provide them with any help. Similarly, at a time of loss and difficulty, those relatives and relations that one has great trust in, God the Almighty may leave them in such a state that they can no longer provide any help. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I further states that never let go of your relationship with God the Almighty, for he can never be separated either in this life nor in death. God Almighty remains with us in life and in death. He further states that God the Almighty has said, "Do not become like those who have cut all ties with Him. Otherwise, the result will be that you will be no longer safeguarded from sorrow and will not find any comfort or tranquility. In face, you will face humiliation from all directions, and it is quite possible that this humiliation may come from your own friends. Who are those who cut their ties with God the Almighty? They are the Fasik and the Fajr, the transgressors and the sinful people, who are empty of true faith. Not only are they weak in their faith, but they also have no love for God's creation. That is to say, neither do they fulfill the rights of God the Almighty, and nor do they fulfill the rights of man. Therefore, every one of us needs to try and make our every action of theirs according to the commands of God the Almighty. Instead of focusing on our temporary gains, we should focus on the next life. May God the Almighty enable us to do so.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.